brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, yes, it's sippin' time again. Welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on 2 a.m.
Nope, I've been watching Friends lately. Going to do a rewatch 35 years back. Jennifer Aniston is so hot. Jennifer Aniston beats us. She beats us.
She stayed hot.
She stayed hot.
You just wish she beat you.
I would pay her to beat me.
Yeah.
It's not my kink, but I'll do it.
Please hit me. Beat me. I'm a bad boy. Yeah, that's what you're doing.
She's great.
All right.
My wife knows she's on the list.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
A free pass.
Free pass for hot pass for Jennifer Aniston.
Nice.
If.
See, I always figured he'd be a Joey kind of guy. But, you know. How you doing? Yeah. Well, this is Maidman Bob, and joining me today, our good old boy Harm.
Thanks for having me, Bob. It was wonderful to be here and actually try some good wine today. You know, I was listening to a Suds episode earlier, and Mike went on a road trip and brought beer back. We should do a road trip episode. We should go to France. Oh, let's get Mike to pay for it.
We do road trip episodes. We just don't invite you.
Damn you.
He wasn't expecting that answer.
You set yourself up for that.
Yeah, I know. Well, last time we did an episode in Sarasota.
Wait,
was that? How many years ago was that?
You listened to this show?
I was listening to a beer. I was listening to a Suds episode. Not even us.
Anybody listened to this show?
That was like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Saratoga thing.
Yeah.
He didn't get out a lot. It seems like 8 weeks.
Or Sarasota. Sarasota. Yeah.
All right, that's enough from you. And Made Man Maury.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here in the damp, dark basement drinking good wine early morning.
And good old boy Justin.
Always a pleasure to be here in the basement.
He's starting to get long. They're going to start playing him off like they do at the Oscars.
Yeah. Yep, start playing the music.
Well, this is speaking of the Oscars. So
I would like to thank.
Our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and anything else we can sip. And this is our Wines of the Academy Awards episode.
I knew you had that queued up. I'm glad you did that.
Yeah, well, the two of us were in L.A. Was it last year or the year before? Last year. And we ended up, we looked for a hotel like in Hollywood where all the tourists were. Turns out it was the hotel next to the theater where they do the damn Oscars. And we were there that day. It's like they wouldn't even let us in the hotel without showing them proof we were supposed to be there. Nice. There were snipers. There were cops everywhere. Yeah. Don't go there when the Academy Awards are on.
Correct.
And none of them waved.
Unless you're attending.
None of them waved back. We waved at them and they just ignored us. I'm so shocked.
Those stars are stuck up.
Well. For the second consecutive year, the folks at Domaine Clarence Dillon were selected as the official wine partners for the 2024 Academy Museum of Motion Pictures, the Oscars ceremony at the Dolby Theater, and the Governor's Ball and all other Oscar-related events. And theirs will be the exclusive red and white wines poured for the stars of Hollywood at all of these events for 2024. All the biggest stars were able to enjoy the wines, and they were paired with food made by Wolfgang Puck, who, again, every year does the food at the Oscars, so you're probably eating pretty well. While we don't have the food here, unfortunately, we've got a bowl of bread, and that's about it.
It's a nice sourdough baguette. It's good.
Très magnifique.
It's not Spago now, is it?
You couldn't even spring for butter, Bob. Jeez.
Yeah, I know. Well, we don't have the food, but we do have the wine, so we're going to go ahead and give those a taste now. So the wines that we have and that all the movie stars had was Clarendel Amber Wine 2021, the Clarendel White Bordeaux 23, La Clarté d'Aubrion 21, Clarendel Bordeaux 2016, La Dragon Quintus Saint-Emilion 2016, La Chapelle de la Mission Aubrion 2010, and La Clarence de Obrion 2008.
Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, we're not drinking, you know, night Swill train today. On this one. So, yahoo. So, proper Bordeaux. Yay. So, let's have Justin tell us all about our sips ratings.
Oh, thank you, Bob. My name is Emmanuel Macron, but my friends call me Al. Jeez. One sip. Yeah, give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth. Ugh.
I thought it was Peter Sellers after drinking too much. Bring
water. Two sips. Nice, but what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. This is interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
It's not quite French. It's not quite German. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is.
Is it Alsatian?
Are it's you like from an Alsace? Old leprechaun.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
Yeah, drunk Peter Sellers.
Yeah.
Five sips. Oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good.
Yeah, that definitely sounded like drunk Peter Sellers.
Merci beaucoup, everyone. Au revoir.
All right. Well, we survived that, so let's have Harm tell us about Domaine Clarence Dillon.
Okay, thanks, Bob. Born in San Antonio in 1882, Clarence Dillon, or Dillon, is it Dillon or Dillon?
He's American.
It's Dillon.
It's Dillon.
Graduated from Harvard in 1905, an avowed Francophile, he was interested in French gastronomy and even took an introductory course at the famous Paris cooking school, Le Cordon Bleu. Domaine Clarence Dillon's history began in 1935 when Clarence Dillon purchased Chateau Aubryon and with the goal of restoring its former glory. In 1953, Douglas Dillon and Clarence's son was appointed ambassador to France. In 1975, Joan Dillon, Douglas's daughter and Princess of Luxembourg, succeeded her cousin Seymour Weller at the head of the company in 1978. The widow of Prince Charles of Luxembourg, she married Philippe de Noailles. How do you spell
that? That one I can't pronounce.
I can't pronounce this. Yep. Philippe. Duke of Luchy.
I think you say it Noailles.
His friends call him Al.
Noailles?
I just don't. I don't have the tongue for French. I don't. I'm sorry.
From 1979 until his retirement. I once tongued a French girl. Until his retirement in 2002. Did I say that out loud? Yeah. The Duke was managing the director of his domain, Clarence Dillon, working hand in hand with his wife and giving her valuable assistance in managing the company's operations. In 1983, the neighboring company, Chateau Le Michon Aubryon, and its wines came under the wing of domain Clarence Dillon. 70 years after Mr. Clarence Dillon acquired Chateau Aubryon in Bordeaux, his great-grandson, Prince Robert de Luxembourg, opened a new chapter in the Dillon family history by creating a fine wine merchant. Horrible. He's a prince. How can he sully his hands with gross commerce? Anyway, Clarence Dillon's wines are a major wine merchant in Bordeaux now. He's fallen. He's touching money. It's wrong. The aristocracy doesn't do that.
He's fallen and he can't get up.
Yeah. So our first wine is going to be their White Bordeaux. The Clarendel White Bordeaux 2023. It's imported by, it's 49% Sauvignon Blanc, 37% Semillon, and 14% Muscadel. The Clarendel Bordeaux White was inspired by the subtle structure of Domaine Clarence Dillon's white wines, containing the unique mystery of rare and illustrious cousins. I'm having a hard time today.
Yeah, you're having a problem reading today.
Yeah, the tongue, the French girl still affecting me. Clarendel Bordeaux White is a delicate blend of two traditional Bordeaux varietals, Semillon and Sauvignon Blanc, to which in some years a flourish of Muscadel may be added. And this one actually has 14% Muscadel. This is a Boitre-sized wine, I believe, right? No, this one isn't. This is the drier style.
This is the drier style.
Yeah. So it's a pale yellow with golden highlights. On the nose, I get citrus, and they say black currant buds from the Sauvignon, but I'm getting more like tomato leaf, and I'm getting white grapefruit, And there's white flowers from the muscadel, definitely. On the palate, was it's a little bit unripe pineapple, touch of mango, definitely the grapefruit. It's really concentrated. It's got a good minerality to it. Medium long finish, very clean and lemony at the end. What do you think, Justin?
I thought this tasted a lot like a Chardonnay.
There's zero Chardonnay in this.
But it tasted a lot like it to me.
You're the only one who thinks that.
Yeah.
What else is new?
The only one on earth.
Even if it were 100% aged in stainless steel, Chardonnay would have different flavor profile than this.
Hmm. That's all I've got for you. What do you think, Bob?
Well, I agree.
You agree what?
I agree with Harm that the profile would be quite a bit different.
Yeah,
I think Harm nailed it. I would not describe it as intense yellow, but rather a very pale straw color. No, you didn't say that, but that's what their notes say. I agree with you. It's got a lot of lemon. It's got a lot of citrus. It's pleasant. It's improved with time in the glass. It's got some tropical notes. I definitely get the grapefruit.
You get the pineapple?
Not so much.
No, I think that's the tropical note I'm getting.
But I thought it was nice. I thought it was pleasant. It does have some minerality. It has a medium finish. Well-made wine. Bob?
I think it's a lovely wine. It's really opened up now that it's warmed up.
I think we served it too cold earlier.
Yeah.
It's definitely improved with air and time in the glass and warmth.
That's kind of a lychee martini finish.
There's lemon and orange blossom, white flowers on the nose. On the palate, the tropical fruit really jumps out.
I think Harm might be right. I think one of you guys might be right about the unripe pineapple. There's definitely a hint of pineapple in there.
Oh, there's the pineapple jumps out for me. I get the pineapple. I get a little bit of grapefruit.
And I got mango, too.
And we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we've been discussing the Clarendel White Bordeaux 2023. Again, tropical fruits, a little bit of citrus. The pineapple leaps out for me, and the grapefruit. I definitely get both of those. This wine is significantly improved as soon as it warmed up. We definitely had it way too cold. But a really nice nose, a nice palate on it. Yeah, overall, a solid wine.
You know, I've tasted other white Bordeaux that are better, no problem. But this one is a different, it's like they're not trying to be that. This is a cousin of those higher end white Bordeaux. So this will be more affordable. I like it.
Well, it's their Clarendel wine, which is sort of more, you know, the approachable, you know, this is the one you can drink every day kind of thing. So given that, I think it's an excellent wine for the value. So we're going to be giving the Clarendel White Bordeaux 2023 a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
So we're going to have Justin tell us about our next wine.
So our next wine comes from Chateaubriand, the earliest written mention of a wine that was specifically identified as being produced from these soils can be traced back to 1521, located in the town of Pessac, a few kilometers from Bordeaux. Chateaubriand is the oldest wine growing property in the region. Jean de Pontac married Jean de Bayonne in 1525, and her dowry was a portion of the Aubrian land. In 1549, he began building the chateau. He passed away at the advanced age of 101 on April 5th, 1589. Wow, that's a long time to live
in the 1500s, then. Man.
Woo!
Most guys made it to like 30.
Yeah, I know. Having lived through the reigns of five kings, Louis XII, Francois I, Henri II, Charles IX, and Henri III. After Jean de Pontac's death, his fourth son, Arnaud de Pontac, inherited the chateau, followed by
Jean? Jean's his wife.
All right, merci beaucoup. By his nephew, Geoffrey, in 1605. Arnaud III, Geoffrey's son, was a true Renaissance man. He was reported to have had one of the largest private libraries in France, and quickly became one of the most influential politicians in Bordeaux when he was appointed the first president of the Guyenne Parliament. Arnaud III began to expand the residence, adding an additional wing to the chateau and doubling the surface area of the vineyard. He also pioneered a new style of wine, which became the precursor to all modern-day Grand Cru Reds. This innovative style of wine, known as the New French Claret, became hugely popular on
Claret? It's an English word. French Claret.
Okay. Became hugely popular on the English market, probably because they could pronounce it. The traditional customer of Bordeaux wines, it was a vin de garde, long-keeping wine, that ultimately sparked a wine revolution, according to many historians. In 1660, the English monarchy was restored. Charles II served Chateaubriand at his table. Thomas Jefferson visited the estate on May 25th, 1787, purchasing 6 dozen bottles. Jefferson identified in his writings 4 first-quality vineyards for the red wine: Chateau Lafite, Chateau Margaux, Chateau Latour, and Chateau Aubriand. In 1855, at the Paris World's Fair, the Association of Bordeaux Wine Merchants, upon request of the Gironde Member of Commerce, drew up an official classification of the best wines of Bordeaux. The merchants based their conclusions on the prices obtained in markets over past several centuries. Chateaubriand was named one of the 4 premier Grand Cru Classé for red wine, alongside Margaux, Lafite, and Latour, mirroring Jefferson's selections. We're going to talk about Le Clart d'Aubrion 2021, 13.5% alcohol by volume. It's 56% Semillon, 44% Sauvignon Blanc, and 46% new barrels. Le Clart d'Aubrion boasts a legendary and unique kinship made from the grapes grown on the Aubrion terroir. Was born of 2 prestigious estates, Chateau Aubrion, Chateau La Mission, Aubrion. The color is pale yellow with green glints. I got kind of a zesty nose to it with some lemon on the palate. It was like a high minerality. I got notes of like steak, and on the finish it was pretty lemony. What did you think, Bob?
Steak?
Yeah, I got a steak note right in the mid palate.
I think that's part of that sulfur note.
Okay, well, steak. I'm not getting steak. I thought I was picking up the note that Harm was saying, but it
blew off.
It's not there, yeah. I get the white flowers, get a little bit of apple, I get a little bit of mineral note, and a very distinct salinity. And on the palate, hold on. Lemon, more of the mineral note, a little bit, the salinity comes for me on the back palate on the finish. Yeah, not bad wine. What do you think, Maury?
I would agree with you. For me, the two overwhelming adjectives would be lemon and minerality. It's got a lot of lemon on both the palate and the nose, as well as on the finish. It finishes strong with lemon. It's got a lot of minerality. It's a light and lively style wine. It's nicely made. It's easy drinking. I thought it was very nice. It was very pleasant.
Harm?
I thought it has a flaw. I still think I smell that sulfur. It was a heavy sulfur nosed earlier, and it went away. It blew off. I'm getting more apple peel and white flowers now, but the sulfur nose keeps coming back. I'm pretty sensitive to it, so maybe it's just me. But Bob got it earlier as well. I like the first wine we did better. But this one should be
better.
Yeah,
I would agree with you on that.
This one should be better by the pedigree, but I think this one's slightly flawed. It's got a good saline finish, which I really enjoy. That lemon and saline and apple. And it's got a good length, but I can't seem to get past that sulfur on the nose. It tastes fine. It tastes right. It's just, I don't know, slightly sulfurous on the front. I don't taste the sulfur, but there you go.
Yeah, I'm not getting it now.
When we first poured, it was definitely reduced, so. It's gotten better with there. Got a rating, sir?
Are
you going to shut me down? Shut me down? What's going on?
Well, we've been trying to ignore you for years, but you just keep finding your way home. We're going to be giving the Le Quartier de Aubryon two sips.
Well, isn't that nice?
So it brings us to our next wine, and we're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Why, thank you, Bob. The next wine is the Clarendel Bordeaux 2016. It is 13.5% ABV. It comes in at 84% Merlot, 10% Cab Sauvignon, and 6% Cabernet Franc. The subtle character and structure of the Clarendel Bordeaux Red comes from its blend of three classic Bordeaux varietals, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and Cabernet Franc. The wine has a beautiful deep garnet color on the nose. Lots of red fruit, some black currant, and definitely some flowers. There's definitely some floral notes and overtones to the nose. On the palate, it's velvety. It's fruit forward. It's generous on the palate. The tannins are well integrated. It's a medium-bodied wine. It's got some nice freshness. It's well balanced, goes down easy, has a medium to short finish for me. It's improved quite a lot in the glass. It definitely rewards patience and aeration, but this is a beautiful wine. It's very well made. Justin, what'd you think?
So I definitely got really nice, well-balanced fruits. I got a faint note of French fries with it.
Steak and fries.
Okay. Steak was the last one. On this one, the palate was nice and dry. It had a nice, refreshing acidity to it and a really good finish. What do you think, Harm?
I disagree with you guys a little bit.
No fries
for you? I don't get any fries. The black currant is there on the nose. It's not super fruity. I think Maury's overemphasized the fruitiness on this one. I think this is a little more restrained. I've got
plenty of fruit bomb, but
it's not California fruit bomb, but and even for a French wine, I think it could have had more fruit. This is on the drier side. There's a little bit of red fruit and black fruit, but I got more violets and a hint of pipe tobacco, which I'm surprised you didn't see, Justin, because you're sensitive to that stuff.
I missed it.
There's a little bit of pipe tobacco here.
Where
the cigar smoke was obscuring his pipe tobacco radar.
And then it does have the velvety texture. It could be more plush. It's a little bit lean, I think. The tannins attack pretty early, and it's still fresh with good acidity that balances out that tannin. I think this wine needs more time in the bottle. Medium to short finish. I mean, it's a decent effort, but it's not my favorite.
I think it will improve with time. I do agree with you there.
We're drinking it young.
We are drinking it young.
Bobby Joe, what do you think?
It's got a pretty nose. You know, more of a classic Bordeaux red nose. The fruit's there. It's not leaping at you, but it's, again, it's not California, so it's not supposed to. Dark red fruit, black currants. It's got some nice silky tannins to it. Got a nice mouthfeel to it.
It's not silky, it's velvety. Velvety has that more different, it's a different texture than silk.
What is this? Velvet, this is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember Eddie Murphy?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you know, an inexpensive wine. And I think it's, you know, delivering a good bang for your buck. So we're going to give the Clarendel Bordeaux 2016 three sips.
Interesting.
So that's going to take us to our next wine. Let me grab it. And that is the Le Dragon Quintus, St. Emilion 2016. It is 15% ABV, 90% Merlot, 10% Pinot Noir, and 29% Cab Franc. And
Cab Franc, not Pinot Noir, dude.
Sorry. 90% Merlot, 10% Cab Franc. I'm not looking. I don't have my glasses on. 29% new barrels. 2011. Domaine Clarence Dillon purchased this property in St. Emilion and renamed it to Chateau Quintus. The Gallo-Romans, the original creators of the vineyards of St. Emilion, had a custom of naming their fifth child Quintus, which is Latin for fifth. So you can tell they're real imaginative people. So like George Foreman's got 26 kids, they're all named George. Yeah. So, Domaine Clarence Dillon decided to pay homage to its predecessors by renaming this growth the Chateau Quintus. Le Dragon de Quintus is the second wine of Chateau Quintus. The name originates from the dragon statue that towers above the terroir of St. Emilion, purchased high upon a promontory where the estate is located. So, on the color, nice dark ruby. Got a fairly decent concentration, a little bit thinner. It's
pretty
on the
opaque.
Edge. Yeah, no. It's yeah. The center has definitely got some color to it. On the nose, it's red fruits. Nice, a little bit hint of a fresh oak. Red flowers. And on the palate. This is another one that just continues to get better the longer it sits in that glass. It's got a nice acidity to it. It's got a very good balance between the acidity and the tannin. Black currants, dark stewed red fruit. Classic Bordeaux profile for me. What did you think, Arm?
I don't get as much black currant as you do. I'm getting like black cherries.
Yeah.
Black cherries, the oak is really present, but it's integrated well. The nose, I had a subtle hint of smoke from that oak. There's a little bit of dark baking spices as well. On the palate, it's very smooth, and the fruit really comes as the shines through the black cherry. The grip is medium. It's got a fairly nice hit of acidity with the cherry. It's a little hint of pepper coming from the Cab Franc, but it's really submerged. There's 90% Merlot here. I was expecting it to be more plummy. I'm surprised it's this much cherry, but it's quite good. It's a second label that I would pay money for. This is nice.
Yeah.
Maury?
I think you nailed it. I think you got it spot on. I'm having a hard time disagreeing with anything you've said. So rather than repeat
it. Just admit I'm always right.
I will admit that even a blind squirrel gets a nut now and then. And
broken clocks, you found it. Right twice in a day.
Yeah. So you were right today. So thank you. I thought it was delicious. I thought it was very well balanced. I thought it was very, very pleasant and mouth coating on the palate. Very smooth, lengthy finish. I think as far as Merlots go, it's one of the best Merlots I've had in a long time. I think it's delicious.
That 10% Cab Franc really adds some depth to it.
It absolutely does. You nailed it. I think the pepperiness comes from the Cab Franc, but I think you're right on.
Yummy. Bring me more of this.
Justin?
You got to let this one sit in the glass for a while. When I first nosed it, I got some like processed candy. That all blew off. And now I get like really nice fruit balance. This thing is smooth. It's got a nice finish. It's very, very pleasant given enough time in the glass.
Oh, I poured it through the aerator again. We'd already decanted this wine, and I think you put it through the aerator. But I put it through the aerator again. I couldn't, you know, I don't want to wait 3 hours for this.
Were you impatient or something?
A little bit.
Yeah. One would think, apparently. Well, I don't know. I think it's a pretty wine, and you know, thanks for sending it for sure.
Yes.
What does Robert Downey Jr. think?
I'd like to thank my terrible childhood and the Academy.
Me too.
In that order.
Well, we're going to be rating the Le Dragon Quintus Saint-Emilion, well-deserved, 4.6.
That's classified.
So that's going to bring us to our next wine, and we're going to have Justin tell us about that.
So the next wine we're going to talk about is La Chapelle de la Mission Aubryon 2010. 15% alcohol by volume. It's 27% Merlot, 47% Cabernet Sauvignon, 26% Cab Franc, and 35% new barrels with the history intertwined with Chateaubriand. Chateau La Mission Aubryon. History goes back to the 1500s. The Dillon family purchased the estate in 1983 and immediately set to work on an ambitious renovation program for the property, including new cellars and equipment. This is the second wine of La Chateau Mission Aubryon, and we'll be back.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back. So let's have Justin finish telling us about the wine he's got.
So before the break, we were talking about La Chapelle de Mission Aubryon 2010. This is the second wine of Chateau La Mission Aubryon. Its name is a nod to the chapel. La Mission Aubryon, built by Lazarus Priest in 1698.
And I heard a screeching, sorry, between a screech and a whistle.
I agree.
Got a beautiful dark garnet color. The wine has like a really beautiful variety of fruit on the palate. It's got beautiful tannins. It's fresh. It's dark. The finish is pleasant. What did you think, Maury?
I am very aroused.
Thank you, Maury.
Most welcome, Bob. I think this wine, again, demonstrates what we know of the old world and French wines, that it needs time in the glass, it needs oxygen, and we've decanted this.
It's a 2010, it's 14 years already, it's got another 30 years to live.
Correct. It's very young.
It's still young.
And as much as I hate to quote some of the older folks that I often drink with, this is young. And the air and time in the glass has definitely helped it quite a bit and made it very pleasant for today. But I think the sky's the limit. I think this wine is only going to improve as everything integrates, tannin soften, and finesse just kind of grows. It's got a really nice palate. The tannins are already well integrated. They're silky. They're smooth. It's fresh. It's well concentrated. It's got a medium finish. I thought it was delicious now, but I think it's got miles to go. What do you think, Harm?
I think neither of you guys actually used any descriptions of fruit. It is black cherry, blueberry, star anise, and pencil shavings. I'm getting that cedar from the pencil and the graphite of the lead.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize those were fruits, pencil shavings and lead and graphite.
The star, yeah, the blackberry and cherry definitely aren't, though. There's black cherry.
Well, one of them's a fruit, the other one I think is a legume.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. It's blueberries and cherries. It's a little bit of hint of, it's the spices are there from the star anise and cinnamon. And wow, that pencil, that graphite is just such a great nose. It's not quite the scorched earth you get on some of the more expensive wines, but this is quite fantastic. It gets better and better as it sits there. I keep coming back to it, and it's so young and fresh. I can't believe it's a 2010. That's why you have to pay so much for like La Chapelle Michon or La Michon Aubryon stuff, or Aubryon in general. These wines can live for longer than you will. Hmm.
Well, having seen your medical file, I'm sure
they'll outlive you. This wine is a 2010, and I'll be dead before it's ready, probably. Who knows? This is so good. And this is their
second label. Don't threaten us with a good time.
This is the second label of Le Michon.
Sounds like a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a complete bastard, and we all hate you.
Yeah. It's got tons of great fruit. Again, that pencil edge just balances it out, that graphite note. I just freaking love this wine. This is great French wine that's not as expensive as some of its cousins, but definitely worth getting. Bob, what do you think?
This is everything I love about Bordeaux. I mean, everything that you want is there. It's got legs. This is going to fall. We're all going to be senile by the time this thing hits its peak.
Well, maybe you will. I'll keep my faculties.
Huh?
What? I'll keep my, yeah.
It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. It's bursting with fruit. I hate to agree with him, but yeah, the graphite is absolutely there. But that's any great Bordeaux is always going to have that. If it doesn't, then you're not having a great Bordeaux. It just, it's so pretty. I mean, there's just
almost, it could be bigger, but you know, but then you'd have to spend $1,000 a bottle, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So, oh, so lovely. Well, we're going to be giving the La Chapelle de la Michon Aubryon 2010 a well-deserved 5 stars.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Oh. So that brings us to our next wine, and we're going to have Harm tell us about that one.
I'm still enjoying this one, dude.
Come on. I know.
All right. Where are we? Let's see.
Could you put down the Aubryon and try the other Aubryon?
Oh, can I try the other Aubryon?
Yes, that would be nice.
So, Le Clarence de Aubryon, Le Clarence de Aubryon, 2008, is 14% ABV, 45% Merlot, 41% Cabernet Sauvignon, 14% Cabernet Franc, and it's 34% new barrels, new French barrels, obviously. This is the second wine to the elder Chateau Aubryon Red, and the wines carried the name Chateau Bahans Aubryon since the first years in the 20th century was renamed Le Clarence de Aubryon, and beginning with vintage 2007 as a tribute to Clarence Dillon, who acquired the property in 1935. This color is an intense, opaque garnet with violet edges. It's maturing. 2008 is perfectly mature. The nose is freaking stunning, with redolent of spice and berries, red fruit. I get black plums, I get cherries, black cherries, a little bit of sandalwood, a touch of cardamom, The pencil lead is just not quite there on the graphite's not quite there on the nose, but I'll trade that for sandalwood and cardamom any day. On the palate, let's take a look again. I can't believe it's 2008. It's still drinking young. Great structure, great acidity. It's super powerful, full-bodied. Blueberry, blackberry, and what is this? This is black cherry again. Yeah, it just keeps coming back in waves. It's great wine. The herbal notes aren't quite there, and the sandalwood's not there on the palate, but the nose is just combined. It's just gorgeous. I want more of this. Maury, what do you think?
Well, I for the most part, I agree with you. I think this is more fruit forward than some of the previous wines. It's got a lot of fruit. I definitely get a lot of that black cherry, and there's a little bit of red fruit on the nose. It's beautiful on the palate. It's got a nice balance to it. It's got a nice finish to it. This is a lovely, lovely wine. I'm really enjoying this. And again, patience was rewarded. I was not as overly impressed when I first poured it into the glass, but it's definitely improved with time, patience, and aeration.
It's been trapped in that bottle for 16 years. It's just now starting to stretch its legs.
Yeah, but I agree with Harm. It still tastes very young and very fresh. Yeah. It's got miles to go.
That's the scary thing. I mean, this is an 08.
This tastes like it was bottled last week.
Exactly. Like, dear Lord.
Very fresh, very fruit forward still. The fruits have not begun to fade at all.
Oh, gosh, no. If anything, they're muted and they're just starting to come forward as this glass sits.
I agree. Very nicely done. Justin?
Why do these French wines take so much longer to age than like Napa wines?
Because they're made that way.
It's intentional.
It's also terroir. They are also harvesting with less ripeness than they do in California, less sugar.
So that makes it age slower, less sugar?
Mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not a winemaker, but I think so. That's what it is.
I think it's technique, it's design, it's
tradition.
Thousands of years of tradition.
It's amazing they can wait that long to get their money.
You know, people were thinking this wine would have already been, 2008, it already would have hit its peak. But I think this has got years more, and at least another decade. This wine is great. It shouldn't be drinking this young.
So you're saying you like it?
I'm saying that when the marketing people from Obrion sent you this, they sent you stuff from deep in the cellar that was absolutely perfectly maintained.
Well, this is what they served at the Oscars.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So what you're perfectly saying is if you don't have a good wine cellar at home for this, it won't last that long.
No.
This wine was held at the right conditions, so other people's 2008s may not be
so
this
you're
good.
Saying you think they kind of like us because they sent us some good ones?
Yeah, I think we're on
and
somebody's good list.
And I can't deny the fact that you like me right now. You like me.
Oh, I freaking love this wine. Yeah,
very good.
Yeah, it's just boom. It's literally everything that I want in a Bordeaux.
Oh, no, they make better wine. It just can't afford it.
Oh no, I'm not saying I haven't had, you know.
I've had I've been to tastings where I didn't pay for the wine. Yeah. I've had better Obrion.
Yeah, but
this is their second.
Yeah,
label.
But we weren't paying for it exactly. Yeah, different story. Yeah, this is that's what I'm saying. This is what I am looking for in any top quality Bordeaux. It's just so well put together. It's still so fresh. It's so bright and just vibrant in the glass that you'd never guess.
There's a hint of smoke I'm getting now a little bit.
Yeah, there is. Just at the top of the glass. I mean, if I told you this was, you know what, 21, you'd go, oh yeah, okay. You'd never guess this is 08. So
true.
Well, we're going to be rating the La Crance de Obrion 2008 five sips.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's going to bring us to our final wine of the day. The final wine that they served at the Oscars.
Going back to Clarendale.
So we're going to have Maury tell us about this one.
Why, thank you, Bob. The final wine is the Clarendale Amber Wine 2021. It's 12% ABV, it's 80% Semillon, and 20% Muscadel. The character is subtle, and subtle structure of Clarendale Amber Wine comes from the combination of the two types of grape maturation, Botrytis cinerus. The grapes develop noble rot, as in Sauternes, and the late harvest amber wine takes its name from the magnificent amber color that it takes on as it ages. Amber wine is a blend of Semillon and Muscadel grapes. This charming, accessible, and modern wine is distinguished by its freshness and its intrinsic balance of floral fruit and acidity. Well, it definitely has a beautiful golden amber color to it. The nose is just jumping out of the glass. It is exploding from the glass with tropical fruit. There's pineapple, papaya, mango, some candied stone fruit like peach and apricot. It's really a pretty amazing nose. You could sit here and just enjoy it for hours just smelling it and nosing it.
Or you could drink the whole bottle and get diabetes.
Well, that would be true. On the palate, it is...
Diabetes?
Yeah. Diabetes?
Yep.
Yeah. I need some Quaker Oats.
On the palate.
That's how he passed away. He drank a whole bottle of Sauternes.
Yeah.
Who? Quaker Oats guy.
Oh, Wilford Brimley.
Wilford Brimley, yeah.
Sorry, missed that one.
Little known fact.
Well concentrated, very velvety, some minerality, lots of honey and apricot, and again, tropical fruit notes. This is really, it's a unique and modern style and a modern take on what would otherwise be a traditional classic Sauternes.
Yeah, exactly.
And the finish is relatively long. It just lingers. This is dessert in a glass. This doesn't, in my opinion, ever pair well with a lot of desserts, perhaps some cheeses, but this is dessert in and of itself.
You know what we need,
Bob?
We need foie gras. That's you go savory instead.
It would go with savory foie gras. Absolutely.
I wait.
Absolutely.
Thank you for the pub subs earlier.
I love this wine. I thought it really reminds me of a beautiful Sauternes. I don't know where the price point is, but I would argue it's probably a lot cheaper than your average Sauternes.
Yeah.
And although it's young, it's drinking beautifully now. I'm not sure what time will do for this wine, but I really thoroughly enjoyed this today. What did you think, Harm?
I agree with you.
I am very aroused.
Exactly, Bob. I'm very aroused. So, compare this to a Chateau de Cam, which is mostly Semillon and Sauv Blanc, a little bit of Sauv Blanc. This has a Muscadel instead of the Sauv Blanc. Mm-hmm. You can do Muscadel in white borders as well, like de Cam. But whereas de Cam, a half bottle is like $500, $300 to $500, even more these days. This wine may not match that, but it's a lot more approachable and easier to get. And it's not quite the same thing you expect from a Sauternes. It's got, its approach is very close. There's a little bit of salinity on the nose as well, not just all that ripe tropical fruit. The spice from the Botrytis is very evident as well. And it's got a beautiful viscous palate. I really enjoy the viscosity of this.
It does have a beautiful viscosity.
Oh, it's thick.
It's honey and apricot, like you said, Maury. And I'm just getting smelling it. But if you've ever had a boitrisized wine, you know that smell.
Yeah.
And it's always there.
Yeah. And once you have one, you'll never forget it as long as you live. So
I hate to spit it out, but I am diabetic, so let's not be killing myself over it.
Justin?
I think this would pair so well with a high cocoa content dark chocolate.
I don't know about that, though.
Yeah, I don't agree.
Well, I think you need...
I like to test it.
We should test it, but I think I would like some maybe fruit tart with some cream.
Mm-hmm.
Like those ones with the strawberry and mango and peach.
You want a dessert that's not overly sweet.
Right. A dessert that's more savory. If anything, cheese or foie gras would go
well
with this.
Cheese and foie gras are a great pairing too. Great. Just let's do foie gras, but let's do some foie gras with some glazed apricots and some peaches. Maybe there. You can do sweet and savory together. Be happy. I don't know where chocolate fits with this.
What a difference between now and first out of the bottle.
Yeah, no, it needed time for sure.
It balanced
way
itself
too cold
with air.
And way needed a little bit of air.
Well, that's how we do it. We always start out with them cold because you know you can't cool them down as they sit on the table. All you can do is warm them up. So you let them start cold and let them start slowly warming and then see if they get any better or worse.
Yeah,
and then
find
you
can, a sweet spot.
You can always throw it in an ice bucket once you find it, you know.
Yeah, but when it's too cold, you mute a lot of the fruit and acid.
Well, we're going to be giving the Clarendel Amber Wine 2021 a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So, I think the guys at the Oscars did fairly well.
They did.
I think they had some pretty good wine. So, I want to thank everybody for coming and joining us on this episode. Thank you, Arm.
Thank you, Bob. And this time I mean it.
I don't believe you. Thank you, Maury.
Always a pleasure, Bob. Life's too short to drink bad wine.
And thank you, Justin.
Great day in the basement. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jimmy Kimmel.
So we have strict policies in place. If anyone in this theater commits an act of violence at any point during the show, you will be awarded the Oscar for Best Actor.
Yeah, okay. Well, for Sip, Said, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob. Thanks for joining us. And to basically say what I always say, but Maury had to try and steal it. Remember, life is too short to drink bad wine.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes. And our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.